interesting story because Ashwatthama is considered a Brahma Bandhu. I think most of you know what a Brahma Bandhu is. Bandhu means a friend, basically. Krishna is also our Bandhu. He's our friend, yeah. Actually, this is a very important thing to understand, that Krishna is our friend. However, when you say that someone is a friend of a Brahmana, that's like saying he's not qualified to be a Brahmana. Just like if you say about someone he's a son of a Brahmana, it doesn't really take into account someone's qualities. Or it's even an insult. Like to say, like sometimes people refer to their wife as that woman or something like that. You understand? I've heard that sometimes. That person who I married. So it's like an insult, depending on your language. Because language is very interesting. If you analyze sentence structure, you can actually tell what someone's relationship is with someone else. And, you know, whether they hate them, whether they love them, whether they feel distant from them. It's a very interesting thing about language. So anyway, Brahma Bandhu basically means someone who's born in a Brahmin family or a friend of a Brahmin who's not actually qualified by Brahminical qualifications like Samadhamaktapaksho, Cham, Shanti, Rajavamevacha, like those mentioned in the Gita. Being equipoised, self-controlled, austere, clean, tolerant, religious, studying the Shastras, etc. So Ashwatthama was certainly not like that. And Ashwatthama committed actually many heinous activities. You know the word heinous? That means like really degraded, horrible, cruel activities. One of them was that he destroyed all the soldiers in the Pandavas' camp. Basically, after Duryodhana had his thighs broken by Bhimsen, he just went into the Pandavas' camp and just in the middle of the night just shot all of them, including the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. And also other people. Actually, so many people. Uttama Jao he killed, and so many important soldiers, practically everybody in the camp was killed by Ashwatthama. And the reason he was so angry was he was angry because the Pandavas had done some things that he considered to be unfair, like saying that his father, saying to his father, Drona, that he had been killed, when in fact he hadn't been killed. And that was the famous statement in the Mahabharata war, where Yudhisthira was asked to say to Drona, Ashwatthama is dead, so that Drona would lay down his arms and later on be able to be killed. And Yudhisthira, of course, refused at first, but then later Bhimsen was instructed to kill an elephant named Ashwatthama, so Yudhisthira could sort of like tell the truth and lie simultaneously. So Ashwatthama was very angry at that. He was very angry at the improper fighting that Duryodhana and Bhimsen had. Bhimsen hit Duryodhana below the belt, broke his thighs, which is improper. Balaram was also angry at that, too. So he had a lot of cause for anger. A lot of cause for anger. Interesting thing about the Mahabharata, that it can be a very confusing book for people, isn't it? For people who are not Krishna conscious. It can be very confusing because at certain points, it's hard to tell, like, what is moral and what is immoral, because you have the good guys using immoral or improper procedures in order to win the battle, Kurukshetra, isn't it? I mean, even Krishna, you know, he lies, you know, he fights when he said he wasn't going to fight. He's tricky, tells Duryodhana to cover his midriff. You know that story? That Duryodhana was going to approach his mother, Gandhari. And Gandhari had the power by which if she could take off her blindfold and look at his body, any part of that body would become invulnerable. So Krishna happened to come along right at the right moment, as he usually does, And then he basically told Duryodhana, it's not proper to appear in front of your mother without, you know, without a kamsha at least. And Duryodhana was just walking around the whole camp naked. So Krishna tricked him in that way. So so basically, if you look at the Mahabharat, and this is actually one of the things that Narada Muni can actually chastise Vyasadeva about, because it wasn't directly pointing out devotional service throughout most of the Mahabharat. And even, it's hard to understand morality when you read the Mahabharat, isn't it? I mean, for someone who doesn't really know the philosophy, it's really hard to understand what is moral and immoral, because you got the good guys doing all sorts of improper things, and the bad guys also doing improper things. And the bad guys are sometimes good, and the good guys are sometimes bad. I mean, Duryodhana and Karna, they were known as very charitable personalities, so they would go to their citizens, give them a lot of money, and help them in many different ways. They had socialism there. You know, socialism? So, of course, they were doing that for the purpose of winning over the citizens, you know, so that they could be more popular than the Pandavas. So they actually had some other motive. But still, it's not Duryodhana was all bad. Prabhupada said that. I mean, he had some good qualities. And so it's very hard to understand, like a child may read the Mahabharata, and it's not really a morality book that you that a child can really learn morality from, right? The child gets very confused, you know, what's moral and immoral? Duryodhana sounds real cool. Maybe I should be like him. So this is just another issue. What we need in the Krishna conscious movement is like teaching about morality, even common morality. And the best book for teaching about common morality in the Vedic literatures is the Ramayana. Because Ram never does anything tricky. He never dances with anyone else's wife. Isn't it? He refuses. He takes a vow, only one wife, Ekapatni Vrata. And even when that beautiful girl, Surpanaka, comes to him. You know Surpanaka? Very, actually, the word Surpanaka means one with long, curly nails. That's what it is. Naka. Naka. Surpanaka means the nails go like this. Like a tiger or something like that. So even when Surpanaka came to him, he just said, no, I'm already married. And even when he was fighting with Ravan, it's very interesting. He was fighting with Ravan. The first time Ravana came out to the battlefield to fight with Ram, Ram defeated Ravana completely. And he said to Ravana, you look tired. Better you go back and rest up a little bit. That was several days before the actual fight, you know, because he defeated Ravana got very upset because a lot of the soldiers were killed. And Ram said, you know, you look tired. Take a little nap and then come back some other day. So that's real dharmic, you know, when you actually knock all the weapons out of your opponent's hand and your opponent is just standing there, it's real dharmic just to say, well, it's not a fair fight anymore, so let's come back. That's chivalrous. So Ram is, and the pastimes in the Ramayana are quite interesting. They can teach us a lot about morality. That's what I've seen. And if someone prematurely tries to understand Krishna's pastimes, they may become immoral. Of course, Krishna's pastimes are so elevated that it really takes someone completely on the spiritual platform to be able to understand them. That's why it's very important not to try to enter into the understanding of Krishna's intimate pastimes prematurely, because you can actually become immoral. Hmm. Think about it for a second. It's very interesting. So therefore, I advise the devotees to read the Ramayana quite often, so they can become moral human beings like Ram. Ram was very much dedicated to Dharma. Of course, Krishna is dedicated to Dharma. Krishna is dedicated to Dharma too, but it's something on a higher spiritual platform. So, all right. That's one point. So anyway, so Ashwatthama, he had killed the sons of the Pandavas, and killed all the soldiers, you know, Dhrishtadyumna, Uttamajal, so many soldiers were killed by him. And so, ultimately, And then also fired them with a monster weapon. So many horrible things. So Arjuna's duty was to capture Ashwatthama. And we see in this particular verse that that Arjuna was angry. His eyes were red like copper balls, right? That's what we just read. So you may say, anger, that's not so nice. It's like we hear in the Gita. What does it say about anger? Lust, anger, and greed are the three pathways going to hell. So is Arjuna in Maya? I don't think so, because anger is good sometimes and can be utilized in Krishna's service. Generally, the anger we experience is due to frustration after we start contemplating sense objects and getting attached to them, right? You know that verse in Gita? Jayato vishayak punsam sangoste shabajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate. That's a very famous verse, second chapter of the Gita. That we contemplate sense objects, and then what happens? We get attached to them. You can get attached to anything. It's interesting. If you look and contemplate something enough, even in a negative way, just like we see sometimes devotees contemplate something in a negative way, like, you know, whatever, intoxication or illicit sex, they just start talking negatively about it. Like that story Prabhupada told about the sannyasis who were crossing the river, and one helped a lady crossing the river, and the other one was contemplating in a negative way. You know, so one sannyasi helped the lady cross the river, and the other sannyasi was just negatively thinking, this is Maya, for the next 200 kilometers. So who was thinking more about the lady? You know, the sannyasi who carried her across the river and just left her on the other side, or the sannyasi who carried her 200 kilometers in his mind? So negative thoughts, actually, also we heard this quote yesterday that the thinking of Krishna and anger is more intense, and I forget the exact wording Prabhupada gave, is more intense than actually just ordinary bhakti. In other words, like Kamsa's meditation on Krishna or Anikashipu's meditation on Krishna is actually more intense than ordinary devotional service. So, it's not that you should chant Hare Krishna in an angry mood. That would be, you know, I hate you, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Like that. No, but it's actually more intense than ordinary devotional service. Of course, not more intense than the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. That's a little bit different. But it's actually more intense than ordinary devotees think of Krishna. Quite interesting, isn't it? When the demons think of Krishna in anger, it's very intense. So, anyway, let's get back to anger. So anger is usually a byproduct of frustration. Vijayate vishayat punsang sangostesha vijayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha vijayate. You contemplate sense objects. And you can, like I said before, you can actually develop a taste for almost anything. Like people when they're young, let's say someone is going to smoke cigarettes when they're older. They don't really have a taste for it when they're younger. It's not the first time you pick up a cigarette, because I don't know about these things, but some of you may. So the first time you pick up a cigarette as a teenager, it's not the most wonderful experience, is it? Does anyone have that experience? No. You have that experience. It's just like... But you keep doing it enough. And people get addicted. They can't live without it. I mean, I think sometimes taking the trains here, not here in Bosnia, but in other countries, that the train will stop. They don't allow smoking in the train. So the train will stop for like 1 minute. And someone will step outside the train and just light a cigarette, which probably costs what? How much does a cigarette cost nowadays? Here, one cigarette. Half euro, sir? What? Half a euro.
10 euro cents is one cigarette.
All right, so that's, you know, anyway, they'll get up and go as fast as they can, and then the train starts pulling out the station, they put it out. You know, all they can smoke is like this much of the cigarette because they're so addicted. Addiction. People get addicted to so many things. I mean, even devotees, they get addicted to too much cheese and things like that, isn't it? It's true. I mean, we should get addicted to kirtan, that's good. You know, kirtan, and, you know, chanting japa, Bhagavatam, these are good addictions. Because the same principle applies with spiritual things. The more you do it, the more attached you get to it. If anyone's experienced chanting 64 rounds a day on Ekadasi or some other day like that, the more you do it, you get attached. So what happens? Let's say you chant 64 rounds in one day, Ekadasi. Then what do you think the next day? What? You think what? About chanting japa. What do you think the next day? You're thinking, why do I only chant 16 today? Isn't it? Has anyone experienced that? You chant 64 one day, the next day, 16 is nothing. It's just warm up. That's what I experience. You know, when I go to Govardhan, many times I chant a lot more, like 64. And then the next day I'm thinking the 16 is just like starting, you know, just like starting the car. You're not going anywhere, but you understand, like starting the engine. Chanting 16 rounds, then you experience 16 rounds like just sitting in your car and starting the engine. At this. And then you get going after 16. So spiritually the principle applies too, that when you contemplate something, you get attached to it. Isn't it? And so materially it applies. The people, I was listening to a class this morning. Prabhupada was talking about how people eat so many abominable things. It was a class in New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was talking about how there's so many nice, like natural things, like milk products and things like that. And Prabhupada said, you know, was talking about people who eat lobsters. You know what a lobster is? Prabhupada said, it's like eating pus. Pus is like when you get a disease and you get an infection and the white stuff comes out of your body. Prabhupada said it's like that. And so people get attached to it. And then the devotees were telling, Hari Sharma was telling Prabhupada the story about how some people like to age the meat that they eat until it has white spots on it, you know, fungus and everything like that. You consider it a delicacy. This is from Prabhupada's stuff, so don't blame me for it. So in other words, people get attached or addicted to so many crazy things. So we have to be careful. The point I'm making is we have to be careful what we associate with, what we hear, what we do, because we can get attached to anything, like crazy music, you know, punk music or something like that, or, you know, what is that, Ozzy Osbourne or something like that? People get attached to so many crazy... he likes him? So you get attached to that, contemplating, you get attached, and then after attached becomes lust. Lust means I just got to do it, I have to do it, I can't live without it. Right? Can't live without it. And then, obviously, when your lust isn't satisfied, every time jnana maintaina jnani no nityavayana kamarupena kontiya dushparena lenacha, burns like fire, then you get good and angry. So that's generally where anger comes from. Right? Generally, that's the type of anger we need to be careful with. Like, if we experience that type of anger, or any type of anger, we should understand, where is it coming from? If it's coming from frustrated lust, that means we have to work on our spiritual life. And then at that point, you have to sort of like control your anger. That means suppress it, not repress. Repress is a different thing. Repress means you deny you have it, and then you just end up shaking all the time. Suppress means, like, if you're experiencing some anger, let's say you're frustrated because you didn't get pizza this morning for breakfast or something. All night long you were contemplating. You told your wife that she had to cook pizza for you for breakfast. And you all night long you were thinking, I can't wait till I wake up. Can't wait till my rounds are finished. That's a good attitude to have towards rounds, isn't it? Can't wait until they're finished. When are these rounds going to be over? You know, so I can eat. And then all of a sudden, your wife tells you, I don't feel like making pizza for you this morning. What did you ever do for me? And then You know, what did you ever do for me? He said, well, I gave you all money, you know, I'm working for you like a dog. So, and then you just get angry because you're, yeah, anyway, because you were just meditating on that sense, or you're frustrated. So if that happens, what do you do when that happens? That's a real good question. Because all this stuff, this anger is built up in your body. First of all, it's better to prevent it from happening in the beginning, to take yourself back to the night before and not contemplate on the pizza you're supposed to eat in the morning. Just think, you should think, I want to please Krishna by offering him something nice in the morning. Not like, I want Krishna to please me by accepting something nice. But generally we're thinking, we want Krishna to please us, right? And then Krishna on the altar becomes something like the checkout counter at the supermarket. You understand what I mean? You know, like if you're buying something in a supermarket, you give it to the girl and she puts it on the cash register. So when we want to eat something, enjoy, we just put it in front of Krishna and Krishna types up in his cash register and we eat it. So the point is that we should try to stop that in the beginning before we start contemplating on something. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes it comes to the point of anger. So what do we do with that? Anyone have any good ideas? Punch our wife in the mouth? You know, what do we do? You know, what do we actually do? Start screaming? Take our kids and start shaking them? Because all this stuff, because anger actually pollutes the body too. It's not just like in the mind and the heart, because you really start, isn't it? Anyone here ever get angry? No, none of you ever get angry. So, it just affects the whole body. I have a good suggestion. So first of all, identify that the anger is not productive. It's not like the productive anger that Arjuna is feeling in Krishna's service, or like Hanuman felt. This is actually the anger you want to express. Like Hanuman, like Prabhupada said, if you're angry, you can use your anger in Krishna's and Hanuman's service, like Hanuman did with Lord Ramchandra attacking Ravana. But it's not like that. You know, 99.99% of the cases, it's just that we're lusty dogs. And we're just angry because we didn't get what we wanted. So what you need to do, what I've experienced, because you have this physical component of anger right there at the same time, right? It's just like you're shaking. So even it's hard to concentrate on the Hare Krishna at that point when you're shaking in anger. Hare Krishna. And like that. You know, so what you need to do is take a long walk. And you got nice hills here too, so. Take a nice long walk and you know, what we call aerobic walk. And chant at the same time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you come back about 3 hours later. And you'll be peaceful. Because generally when you're angry, there's a, like I said, there's a physical component of it, and that has to be worked out too. So what you do is you take a japa walk, which is a practical consideration. So in other words, when you feel yourself like that, take a time out. That's called a time out. You heard of that before? And if your husband or wife is getting angry, you go like that to them. And that means hit the road, Jack. Or Jill, as the case may be, and chant some japa and don't come back until you've chanted another 16 rounds or something like that. Yeah, that's how you deal with anger. You understand? So you identify it, you see it's not productive anger like Arjuna here, and then You pray to Krishna, you chant, you understand, you become a little humble. Another thing anger can do, when we experience inappropriate anger, it actually teaches us that we're not great devotees. You understand? You know, sometimes we think we're such great Vaishnavas, you know, I'm a good Vaishnava. You're supposed to serve me, wash my feet, you know. If you won't wash my feet, I'll kick you. So, that's anger. We even see, like, anyway, even spiritualists exhibit those sorts of anger. So instead, we say, oh, I'm angry. That means I have an anartha. You know, anger is one of the anarthas. Kama krodha madamatsarya varya vaya. That means I have to work on my bhakti more. So it's an impetus. So in other words, experiencing anger, if you're able to identify it, can be an impetus to advance, further advancement in devotional service. Because it helps make you humble. Jnana pich nichena. Tadara pich nihishna. Amani na manadena kirti niya sadahari. Because without being humble, you can't chant, right? You can't chant properly. So just make, wow, I was in Maya. And so instead of just getting completely depressed, I was in Maya, I better give up Krishna consciousness. It's hopeless, it's useless. Maybe next life. Yeah, that's one thing, one response one may have. But that doesn't help. You just say, yes, so therefore I should take more shelter of Krishna, his holy names, the process of devotional service, learn from this experience, learn how to prevent anger before I, by not contemplating on the sense objects, and understand that my japa is not good enough, my sadhana is not good enough. So even anger can be a lesson, an important lesson, a positive in that respect. You understand? It's positive because it's teaching you where you're at in devotional service, so you can endeavor more to become Krishna conscious. So anyway, so these are some of the lessons we can learn from anger. But if you're attacking the demons, then it's good for you to be angry. But Kali Yuga, not so many demons. Everybody is demon, devotee, the same body, you know. So become angry at your own demon. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems? No? So I was asked to speak about anger this morning, so. Yeah?
My English is...
Yeah, that's right.
Kad dođem stanje gnjeva, koliko ja vidim, nije se lako kontrol sa to kada da...
When I come to the stage of being angry or to the stage of anger, it's not easy for me to control myself. You say that sometimes...
It's very hard.
Vrlo je teško.
So that's why I say you take a time out.
Zato kažem, napravi pauzu.
You take a time out, you take a nice, long, aerobic japa walk.
Aerobičnu japa šetnju.
And take shelter in Krishna's holy name.
It's very difficult to make something good at that moment.
No, that's why you take a long japa walk. any strong emotion that's counterproductive to Krishna consciousness, whether it's anger or pain in the heart, or, I mean, what are other emotions that one can have? Like intense desire to enjoy something. We should be introspective enough to identify that this is not going to help my Krishna consciousness. So the only solution is take shelter of Krishna's names. But that's the only solution I have. Or you can go with Trivikram and do some kickboxing or something. Right? I mean, but in modern society, people are actually encouraged to become angry and anger in the name of sporting games and things like that. Just like, I was in Croatia, and they have this thing that young people do. It's called paintball.
Yes.
You heard of that before? So we were walking. I didn't do it. Don't worry. So I was walking by this paintball place, and these people were dressed in these war costumes, and they were just like shooting each other, hiding behind, you know, walls and everything. You're dead! I got you! And then the person put up his hands. All right, I'm dead. Don't shoot anymore. So anger is, I mean, anger is practically encouraged in modern society. I mean, with the video games, is it? Anyone here ever play video games? Video games? Anger and lust. I mean, the most popular video game is called Grand Theft Auto, and it's filled with anger and lust. You've heard of it before? You played it. So, no. And so people are just trained, but we should understand this anger has to be dealt with very, very carefully. And the only time you're justified in anger is when protecting devotees or religious principles, and you have to see you use the least amount of anger possible. You don't use the most amount. You know, for example, let's say someone comes, and particularly here in Bosnia, you can have the discussion, like you'll say, God has a form. And someone from a different religion will say, God has no form, no legs, no eyes. Isn't that happens here sometimes. So naturally we'll get a little angry, won't we? Because they're saying that God is deaf, he's dumb, he's blind. So naturally, when a devotee hears his beloved Lord criticized like that, he starts to get a little disturbed. So the proper way to express that anger is probably walk away. You don't want to, boom, or else you will be the victim of some sort of, what do you call it? Anyway, you'll have a whole riot on your hands in a little while. So you have to express your anger in a way that's productive. Even if it's valid anger, you know, good anger, that means angry at someone who's blaspheming God. You don't want to cut someone's tongue out. Even though the Vedic injunction, you know, if you can't win an argument, cut someone's tongue out, that's meant not meant literally. Not that devotees go around with scissors. You know, okay. I think you know, you have to be careful. So, so we have to tone down. Even if the anger is, let's say, justified, we have to really tone it down to what's actually required, not more than what's absolutely required. Like Arjuna here, he arrested Ashwatthama. But he didn't cut Ashwatthama's throat off. I mean, if he had just had uncontrolled anger, he would have gone to Ashwatthama and cut his throat out and killed him before Yudhisthira or anyone else said anything to him. But you'll see later on, there's a whole discussion on how to deal with Ashwatthama. So Arjuna did not have uncontrolled anger. His anger was very much under his control. And later on, instead of killing Ashwatthama, you know, they cut off his jewel like that. And exiled him. But so even if anger is justified, then it should be kept to the minimum required. Not any more than the minimum required. That's another important point. That is, you maximize your anger. These things make sense? Anger. So did you ever get angry? No. I don't believe it. So, question? Yeah.
Ovo što govoriš, shvatam da je gnjev trenutan.
What you are just telling us, I understand it's about the immediate anger or current anger that happens.
Yeah.
For a short period of time and would disappear eventually.
No, sometimes. Continues for a long time, like Beam saying.
I didn't finish my question.
Oh, okay.
Could you help me?
Yes, I consider that I live in a demon's body.
Šta je sa gnjevom koji stanje dugo, dugo, dugo?
What is with the anger that stays for long and long and long in one?
That's actually a good question. And actually, there's an example of that with Bhimsen. It's described that Bhimsen had long cherished anger. He actually cherished it. You know, cherished? He loved it, anyway. Against the Kurus. So, of course, that anger for Bhimsen was appropriate. So, if we have, let's say, a long term anger, we should try to identify where that anger is coming from. And generally it comes because we have to take responsibility for it. That's the first thing. Because generally we try to blame someone else for it. We say, this person makes me angry. But generally it's because of some unfulfilled need or desire that we have. Just like we have a need, for appreciation. Devotees also have a need for appreciation. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate each other enough. You know, just like a good pat on the back, good job, you know, like that. Like I remember one year I was the GBC chairman. Almost killed myself that year. Yeah, I mean, all the work. I was exhausted. And nobody thanked me for it at the end of the year. Nobody said, you know, thank you very much for doing this. And you know, I felt bad because I wasn't thanked. And so, you know, I was a little angry. I didn't hit anybody or yell at anybody. But I was thinking, you know, huh? You know, I did all this for you, all you for a year, and not even a thank you or... not even a birthday cake or anything like that. And so that continued for a little while, but then I understood that I was the one responsible for my anger. It was my need for appreciation, and it's not that they are responsible for appreciating me. It's my need. So then I looked in the mirror and appreciated myself. No. No. I didn't do that. That would be wild, you know. Send myself a thank you letter in the email. No. What I did is I undertook responsibility for my own need and didn't blame others for not doing what I thought they should do. And then the anger went away. Because otherwise I was demanding that they would do something for me or fulfill my need. And that's not a Vaishnava's position, to demand something of someone else. So generally when we do experience this long-term anger, it's due to feeling that someone should have done something or acted in a certain way that they're not doing. In other words, we're demanding something of someone. And that's not appropriate either. Like, you have to love me. Like the husband will say to the wife, you have to love me because I'm your husband. And what does that do? Then probably becomes less lovable at that particular point. Right? So it doesn't really work when we demand things from people. It actually gives the opposite result sometimes. So basically, we just take responsibility for our anger. We don't blame our anger on someone else. Generally, we're always making excuses for our own lack of Krishna consciousness. I can't chant good japa because I'm in Maya. That's an excuse. We can chant good japa. Just like I got a letter from some country this morning. They said basically we can't be enthused in Krishna consciousness because you don't visit us enough. I just said, so you're blaming me for your lack of enthusiasm. In other words, they're asking me, it's kind of interesting, they're asking me to visit them more and enthuse them more. However, they were angry at me for not visiting them enough. It's a kind of mixed thing, you know, there's a mixed signal you're getting from. So, but the point is, if you want to be Krishna conscious, you just pick up Prabhupada's books and chant nicely. You get, you know, it's your responsibility. Like Prabhupada gave the example that when you learn to fly a plane, you know, fly a plane, then you have an instructor sit next to you on the plane, and there's dual steering wheel and dual everything else. But after a while, the instructor goes bye bye, and you got to fly solo. And you say, well, the reason I can't fly well is because the instructor's not there anymore. Then you'll never learn how to fly the plane. You understand? You'll never learn how to fly the plane. So you're blaming the instructor for your lack of taking responsibility to learn how to fly the plane. But it's not his fault. You're the rascal. So Prabhupada said, you know, Prabhupada used the same example of flying. He said, we have to fly our own plane in Krishna consciousness. Especially at the time of death. I mean, no one's going to be there giving Bhagavatam class to you. And even if you have a tape plane, at the time of death, you lose your ability to hear, you lose your ability to see, you lose your ability, many times, you lose your ability to speak. So it's just you and your mind at the time of death. Scary, isn't it? Even if your guru is right there saying, remember Krishna, it's like, you know, shutting the curtains, the eyes stop working, the ears stop working, and you're disconnected. Just imagine right now what would happen if you became blind all of a sudden and deaf all of a sudden. It'd be like turning off the television, you know. Would you be Krishna conscious? Well, that's the time of death. That's the time of death. And you really have to fly solo at that point, you know. Where's the other instructor? Where's the guru? And then instead of flying, you go, you crash your plane. You crash your consciousness. So in other words, we have to take responsibility. Don't expect others to do it for us. And if we're angry, it's our fault. I mean, look at Haridas Thakur. He was being whipped in 22 marketplaces. He never got angry at the Muslims. Right? Imagine. No, I'm not saying we can do that right now, but because he took responsibility for his own feelings. He didn't say, you're making me angry. I curse you. He was actually interested in their welfare rather than cursing them. Anyway, it takes a lot of practice to deal with anger. Anger is actually more difficult to deal with than lust. Much more difficult. Because, I mean, there's even stories like of sages, they were approached by, what was that? Vishwamitra Muni was approached by this Ramba, a very beautiful girl on heavenly planets, Apsara. She approached him. He was meditating. I mean, first he'd given in to Menaka, but he learned his lesson from after that. So Ramba approached him, and he just got angry. And what happened? He cursed her, and she became like a stone or a ghost or something like that. But even these great sages, they become overcome with anger. Another story of Vishwamitra Muni. He was meditating, and a bird passed stool on him by, you know, birds, they're not trained up. You can't toilet train a bird. And then he burnt the bird to ashes with his anger. And even though there's a story about Lord Shiva where Cupid tried to agitate him. And what did he do? He burnt Cupid up. Therefore, Cupid is called Ananga. It means someone without limbs. That means he has a subtle body, but not a gross body. That's why you can't see him when he comes. I wish Lord Shiva had not burnt him up. You know, it would have been a lot easier to deal with him, you know, because Cupid could have come in and said, oh, there's Cupid. Okay, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. But now Cupid comes in and we don't see him. Right? Mm-hmm. You think, oh, it's love. He fires his arrows of what? Form, taste, smell, touch, right? The objects of the senses. Here we go. He has a machine gun in Kali Yuga now. Like that. So anyway, controlling anger, lust, greed, all these things, one has to be a little introspective and take responsibility for them. Don't blame others. You made me lusty. You made me greedy. Just like if someone puts a lot of money in front of us and we become greedy, it's not the money's fault. Right? It's the money's fault I'm greedy. Or it's, you know, it's the opposite sex's fault that I'm lusty. Huh? I don't think so. Again, so many times we blame others, isn't it? You're making me angry. Don't say anything. No. I'm angry because of my own problems. Not because of you. No one can make us angry. Let's say I go to Trivikram and start insulting him. What insult should I use? Your car? Insult your car.
Car. You're a chicken.
Or a chicken. You don't know how to fight. A coward. Yeah, cat. You don't know how to. You're so weak. I mean, the only muscles you have are in your head instead of in your arms. Of course, this is joking, but I mean, let's say he's not going to get angry now. But then he starts to get angry, but the words are not really the cause of his anger. It's his own desire for praise. So that's how a devotee should see things.
I make him angry. I tell him that he's a sissy.
Yeah. So, yeah, because he has a desire for to be admired. That's why he's angry. So it's not my fault that he's angry. It's his desire. It's his desire to be admired, to be Ishwaroham, Humbogi, Siddoham, Balavan, Sukhi, to be perfect, powerful, happy. It's like when I was young, people would insult me all the time for wearing glasses. They used to call me Four Eyes. They do that here? And so then I started taking my glasses off, and then I couldn't see anything. Then they called me No Eyes, you know, because I kept running into the wall, you know. Why? Because I wanted to be loved. So if I just take responsibility, I want to be loved. Krishna loves me, even if these rascals don't. That's okay. You understand? Then I feel better. But as long as I blame you, I'll never overcome my anger. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah. No. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that's not some secondary. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
thank you for the wonderful lecture.
Your
lecture inspired me to ask something to solve some of my own.
Okay.
Danas sam savjet kako da imamo ljutnju, da se uvijek zaustavi.
You gave us an advice that when we are in anger to always stop, make a pause, make a break.
Ja imam obrnuto, znači imam i svoju tu ljutnju.
I have an opposite situation, I have my own anger.
Često me bhakte napadaju, ali kriv ni dužan.
But often devotees attack me and I am not guilty at all for their
pričaju neke gluposti koje nisam radio.
Talk some nonsense that I didn't do.
Ta osoba priča nekom, a ja ne mogu, svi kažu, nemoj mu reći da se ja rekao.
For example, person A tells the person B and tells the person C and D something bad about me, and then B, D, and C tell me that A criticizes me.
Yeah.
But they always say, don't tell him that I told you.
Yeah, they always
say. And I cannot do much. At a certain point, I am overfilled with that anger. But sometimes,
Yeah, but why are you angry? What do you need? You need to be understood. So basically identify the basic need that's causing the anger. As you need to be understood, you need honesty, you need fairness. I mean, so it's your need that's causing you to be angry, your unfulfilled need. And, you know, many times, you know, you're not the only one, but many times I also experience being criticized unfairly. And, you know, first, of course, the natural response is anger. But then I begin to think, what is Krishna trying to teach me? There's a lesson behind it. And he might be trying to teach us humility, to take shelter of his holy names, to not be so interested in society, friendship, and love in this world. There's many different lessons we can get. Or this material world is a place of misery. Yeah, because if we're comfortable in this world, we'll never want to be Krishna conscious. I mean, let's say that everybody you meet, they always appreciate you and love you and praise you. And you have a lot of money, and you never get sick, and you're handsome, and you're famous. It's going to be very hard to be Krishna conscious. Queen Kunti prays, Janmaishwarya Shutasya Shibira Namana Adapuman, that sometimes these things like good birth, or wealth, or too much learning, or beauty, can be impediments in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says, Yashaham anagrame harishe tadanam shanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away everything, so all they're left with is my holy names, and they just chant. That's Krishna's special mercy. That so ultimately, philosophically, we can understand that way. And then, I mean, in many cases, when people criticize me unfairly or in ignorance or whatever, I end up thanking Krishna for it later on. Not in the beginning, of course. In the beginning, there's anger, bewilderment. You don't want to get even with them. But in the long term, I see I actually see why Krishna arranged it so I can take more shelter of him and his holy names. Because one of the major sources of anarthas, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, are the byproducts of bhakti. That means you get appreciation for being a good devotee. So that can cause like unwanted things or anarthas in the heart. So when Krishna arranges that we're misunderstood or criticized unfairly, then it's his special mercy. And so we should thank Krishna for it. Yeah, it may take a few days to thank Krishna. Yes, it's hard to do it immediately. But after a while, you just say, you know, wow. If this had not happened, I wouldn't be chanting so sincerely. You know, so basically we need the material world to be miserable. If you were in the heavenly planets where it's not so miserable, it's just hard to surrender to Krishna. Can you imagine being heavenly planets, everyone's beautiful and there's nice dancing all the time and the mangoes are as big as this building, or bigger actually. And the weather is always perfect. Everyone's wonderful and sweet, except for the demons. But anyway, I mean, it'd be much harder to be Krishna conscious. So therefore, Krishna is so kind, he arranges these things for us. It's painful. The most painful thing is when people who we actually love or care about say something really nasty to us. That's more painful than a knife. But there's something to be learned from that experience, Krishna conscious wise. Something to be learned from that experience. It's painful, but what do they say? No pain, no gain. That's the way it is. Or when you get some problem in the body, you just have to make it into something positive to help you become Krishna conscious. Like we see with Srila Bhakti Tirthamara, she has a cancer. And he actually turned it into something positive to instruct people to take shelter of Krishna, isn't it? So a devotee can make everything in this world positive, even painful things. Everything in this world can be an impetus to take shelter of Krishna, isn't it? Everything. To Kaliyam Shashvatam. Krishna's not going to make this world nice. It's a miserable place. And so sometimes devotees say, but I'm in the Hare Krishna movement. Everyone's supposed to be a devotee. But Prabhupada said the Hare Krishna movement is like a hospital. People are also sick in a hospital, but they're getting better. You know, when you first join the movement, you expect every devotee to be like a pure devotee. You know, you walk, go to the temple, and then, wow, what a great saint. And then later on, you discover that great saint has some interesting problems. Yeah, he has bad breath or something like that. But anyway, so because we're all getting better. But then, or another example Prabhupada gave is that you're in a boat, and you think, now I'm in a boat, everything will be nice. But the boat is still rocking back and forth. And you're so stupid, you jump off the boat. You think, the boat's rocking, I'm sick, better I'm in the water. So we have to expect many trials, tribulations, pains. This is part of life. You know, it's not going to... I mean, look, Prabhupada also had to experience so many things. So many pains, trials, anxieties. Yeah, so this is the welcome to the material world. You decided to come here. Don't blame Krishna. You were in the spiritual world, and Krishna said, the material world is a miserable birth, death, disease, old age. And you said, I'd still like to experience it. You came here voluntarily. Right? Krishna didn't throw you down. You wanted to go for a vacation. A vacation from serving Krishna in the spiritual world. Let me see what it's like. Let me see what it's like being the center. Sounds interesting. Like Prabhupada gave the example, sometimes a little child wants to imitate their parents, the mother. They see their mother cooking a nice pie or a cake. So then they take some mud. You know, make a cake out of mud? And that's what we're doing right now. Where we saw Krishna like dancing. All right, we want to dance. So Krishna with his gopis, I like gopis. See Krishna with his coward boys. Oh, I'd like to be the center too, like Krishna with all the coward boys. And then what we get? Misery. That's our problem. All right? Any other questions? It's almost time. Actually, it's time. So we should. Yeah, one more.
Okay, no question.
What?
No question.
No question.
Today is one special day.
What day?
Wednesday. That also, but a bit more than maybe I'll go over.
That person may be disturbed because of what am I going to say?
It's someone's birthday.
The Lenchi Rajana.
Whose birthday?
Chi Fauchan. Your disciple. Lady.
Really? Who?
Krishna. Nitai Karna.
Nitai Karna's birthday!
Yes.
We have to have
in
a part.
Before in the month, I'm Hare Krishna chanting in prayers.
Really? Yeah. It's your birthday?
Yeah.
So you're 22 years old.
I have a following on that.
Okay, so we should have a party. Tonight we can chant to her. Happy birthday. That's nice. And she also has, she has a master's degree in education now too. Right? Specialization, English literature. Wow. Pretty good. Pretty good. So, when's your birthday?
24 of April.
Oh, we missed it. All right, so happy birthday, and I guess we should end class now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I just want to let everybody who's seen the deities. I want them to see the deities too. Hey, Trini Keto, where'd he go? Did he leave already? Oh, die, she's going to die.
He's coming. Okay.
Changing his
doctor. Oh, changing into a pants. Hey, all right, everything right?
Yes.
You really grown.
Thank you.
That's nice. You're happy? You going to the camp?
Yes.
Going to summer camp. That's good.
Do you understand what I understand?
Yeah, he understands English. Good devotee. I remember when he was like smaller. I think the first time I visited you was smaller. All right. You ready?
Yes.
You're just going to say like Lotus should get down.
I'm like, Master Pimalne.
All right. Ready, ball. So, everything all right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's good to visit you, see your new child. Right?
Yes. I want just to invite you. Maybe tomorrow is okay for you, or...
Yeah, what time?
Whenever it's suitable for you.
During the day, we can go out there and visit.
Because we sell our flat and we bought other one and we are renovating. So
I see.
But we will be very happy that you visit us.
What time is good for you?
We want to... You take some prasadam, let me make some prasadam, something for you, some diet or something.
Well, the thing is, I have my deities at home.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
I get like a little fruit or something
okay.
like that.
Okay, we can get something. What do you like? Watermelons?
Yeah, something light. Something light. Just one or two little fruits.
Okay.
Fresh fruits.
Okay. No season.
Yes, it's season for fresh fruit. So, yeah, why not just come over there? I don't have to work it out. Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay.
Maybe today or tomorrow. I'm going to go. I'm supposed to visit the Eco Village sometime today or tomorrow. But I'm not sure when.
I know the situation for village.
Yeah.
My third thing. Danas, ovi dana je veliko finale od otvaranja.
They are before the opening. They are opening in 2 days. They have big
right
thing going on.
Ja mislim jako dobra ideja.
Good idea that you visit.
Yeah, I'm going to visit. He already
calling Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, he already spoke to Mahaprabhu.
Ja sam već dogovorio.
We're going to go. Either today. What?
I don't know when are we going to stay.
Either today or tomorrow, in the afternoon, right? That's what he wants to say. We'll see what the weather's like.
Okay.
All right, and then we want to visit Shriniketa too, sometime. Just to say hello at the house, to see the baby and everything like that.
Okay. Will you come and pick up Maharaj?
No, we'll go. You can take me. You're not working.
No, I'm thinking about one thing. What do you think? Is it a good opportunity? Because most of these devotees never been to Eco Village. Whether it's good to go as a group or just you and me.
I don't think Mahaprabhu will be too happy if we bring a whole bunch of Hare Krishnas there, you know, with their bald heads and
seers. Yeah, Sika,
Sika will have to be covered.
I mean, maybe you can bring Shermakram and his wife.
Sure.
They can see, because they don't live here, so they can see it. He's good with his beard. He definitely doesn't look like a Hare Krishna.
Last year.
Papuchi,
shall we come
from the
sister
and call him a child? So we can bring them, but I think a whole group wouldn't be a good idea. All right, so anyway, he'll coordinate with you sometime. Did you ever find the digital files for your wife's pictures? Remember we were looking for that last time?
Which digital files?
The files, you know, the pictures your wife painted.
We have, I
You have them, so I can get them from you then.
Yeah, I have them on some on CD and some. We have some new ones.
Oh, good. Yeah, because when I go to your house, I'll bring my USB stick or something.
Okay,
so I
okay,
Because they're really nice pictures.
Yeah, last time computer was almost...
We were looking for them, we didn't find good ones.
It was dead computer, so we couldn't transfer them.
Yeah, it didn't work out well.
Yeah.
But this time you have them.
Okay. We have at least new ones, I don't know, for the most computer, but we have...
New ones.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll just bring...
We have at least 100 paintings.
pretty good. Thing.
So I'll bring my USB stick so we can count them all together. Right. Don't worry. Yeah. You both all right here? You got enough prasada? The pyramid. You can take him to the pyramid?
No.
I've already been there to the pyramid, but they need to take them.
Okay. I feel it here. Like home, better than this place.
This is a nice place. The voters are nice here, isn't it?
Very open.
Yeah, very open, nice temple. So, so go to the pyramids. You got to see the pyramids. I mean, it's really important. Maybe you're only up. What?
We need someone to take us. He doesn't know.
Do you know where about the pyramids? You've been to the pyramids before?
Yes.
They need to see the pyramids.
I can call the founder of the association.
But I've seen the pyramids, Ray. I'm not going
to. And arrange them to be welcomed by the main guy there. Of course, too.
But by the archaeologist.
Yeah.
And he'll show them around.
Yes, I have his telephone number. I can call him. Last time he welcomed Smita Krishna Maharaj and it was really nice, but that will take the whole day.
The whole day?
Most of the
day. Didn't take me a whole day to see the pyramids.
Well, I didn't see everything because there is much, much more now. There are tunnels below the city.
Oh, really?
There are long tunnels and there is everything to be seen in the tunnels. And you can spend a whole day in the tunnel.
Indiana Jones.
You haven't been in the tunnel at all.
No, they wouldn't let me go in the tunnels.
Yeah, no, the tunnels are...
That's all right, I believe it. Really, but they would be... Would that be exciting for you? What do you think?
If you need a referral, I can call this guy.
But they should go with some devotee.
Yeah,
I mean, they have a car, but they can go with some devotee who takes them.
In addition to a devotee, I can recommend them.
Yeah. I will show it.
Okay.
Today.
Okay, Devanand. Yeah, if you could take them.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
Thank you.
And they're real pyramids. It's not just like...
No imitation.
Not imitation. It's not natural. It's a man-made phenomenon. It's really impressive. You have a camera?
Bosnia, I don't speak too much for this.
Smita, yeah, is transcendental. He lives in Vrindavan 24/7, and he brings conclusions which are not. He thinks that nobody speaks in Bosnia about pyramids much because it's still kind of state secret.
Is it secret?
Absolutely not the case. There are actually working actions there. People came from 20-30 countries. As volunteers working on pyramids for free, for nothing. Everybody speaks about that.
When do we get going? Because it's getting late now. Okay.
See you later.
So, have a good time in the pyramids.
Eto čujemo se ako budete išli, Devanand, ti mene zove da to...
Pa idemo 100%, samo...
What happened with my shoes? Oh, there they are. Someone hit them. Okay, Haribo. It's a nice day.
What a perfect day.
It turned out to be a nice day. Can you get out of here?
Shinny is moving his vehicle right now.
Okay.
Oh my God!
You're right. So you ready to go?
Excuse me. U šest počinje gora rotik. U pola sedam lekcija. Ne znam, nisam ja lider. Nandišvar, pitaj.
Let's go.
Let's go. There's light underneath breakfast ship. So, so the pyramids are becoming more famous now.
Yes. The main problem was that the official state institutions didn't really give support to the pyramids, but the non-government organizations and lots of activists are just getting stronger by that. Chandramouli Maharaj said that Christianity became so popular and so wide movement because of people who were crucified because of it, who were punished for believing in it.
Yeah, yeah, that made them martyrs.
That made other people want to become members of Christianity. So in the same sense, I think these pyramid guys...
Yeah, because the more the government's against it, the more popular they get.
Yeah, the main scientists, archaeologists from University of Sarajevo, etc., they don't give support. But everyone else does. People who are experts in pyramids from Egypt, they come and they give their opinions, etc., etc. Okay. Lots of elements in your lecture for me.
Yeah. What's that?
Lots of elements.
Oh, for you. Well, you asked for an anger lecture, so.
My wife did.
Oh, your wife.
And doesn't matter, you put a lot of elements for me. But thanks, it's of course appreciated. And my mother just said that she had an addition to her question, but she may.
Ask later.
She said, if you want, you can tell him, and I do not want that. I want to encourage her to speak with you because that's important. So you don't take water at all also till you eat breakfast, or you did take some water this morning?
I didn't. No, I took it. I take it when I first get up.
You did. You do take water.
When I first get up.
Once you give it to deities, then you take also.
No. I take when I first get up in the morning.
At around 4 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, the first thing I do before I take a shower or anything is I drink water.
Okay.
And that's what you're supposed to do Ayurvedically.
Absolutely right. And you don't then take every now sip by sip?
No, sometimes. Unless I'm thirsty.
Everybody is impressed with your lecture. It was really.
Gotta turn off the. Just like.